You are God, and one day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who have choose you now. Come, just as you are. Come, just as you are. Come.
Hey. Amen. Amen. Such a joy to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We give God the glory. You may be seated. We want to welcome you to First Baptist. This is your familia, your family, and we want you to be part of our family. And it's a wonderful time to be here in the house of the Lord, praising the Lord. And we have a few announcements that we have, and just want to say thank you so much for those who were part of the prayer. I want to thank Miss Dottie for coordinating the 24-hour prayer chain. And so we started praying and seeking the Lord. I believe I had at 2:30 in the morning. So that was I'm still feeling the effects of it. But it was a great time to be alone with God. I encourage you to spend some time with the Lord. There's no greater joy to be in His presence. It doesn't matter the time. It's always a good time to be in God's presence. I have a couple of announcements. I encourage you to come to Bended Knee, 7:30 on Wednesday morning, so we can continue praying and seeking God. We want to see revival break loose in Fort Valley. Amen. Amen? And so I encourage you to come and be part, and we want to pray and seek God and see what God wants us to do. And also, we have on Wednesday, we have at 6 p.m., we have our prayer meeting, and the band will be practicing as well. You want to be here next Sunday. We're going to have our annual business meeting and also deacon elections. And also, our youth activities will start at 4 o'clock next Sunday as well. During the month of September, we are calling it One, and it's going to be we're going to be preaching in multiple locations on the book of Philippians. You have the dates and the time there. At 6 o'clock during September, we will be going to multiple locations in multiple churches within our city. And we're in this together. We all want to see revival. We want to see God at work. And we want to see souls come to know the Lord. So please make plans so you can come to some of the locations that we have. And so we just want to thank you, and we'll continue to worship. Go ahead. We have a couple more announcements.
So our flowers this morning were placed in memory of Mr. Charles Sims by Miss Angeline and the two boys, Roger and Brantley. And I believe Melissa did a beautiful job. They were just gorgeous. Yeah. Thank you. Women, we have the Unleashed Women on Mission Retreat. That's in September, and it's on September 13th and 14th. Go ahead and register. Your information is in your bulletin. Miss Rosie and I will be going, and then we'll make sure if we need to take a van, we'll take a van. That would be awesome if we took a van. That would be the first time we've done that in a couple of years, so that would be great. Miss Jo asked me to remind you about Christmas in August. You will remember, it's on your back of your bulletin. This is the home missionary that we're helping to bless him and his ministry with needed food items for his ministry that he's doing in Indiana. So if you choose to participate in this, you can order it online with Amazon. And when you order a gift for Amazon, you can put a note in there and say, with love, we're thinking and praying for you. You can sign your name. You can sign First Baptist Fort Valley. You can sign however you want to. But that'll be a wonderful way, and it'll go straight to him, and you won't have to worry about shipping. If you prefer to put some money in the plate, just make sure you mark the envelope so that we know that we can, and we'll use it, and we'll make one big order from the church. We can do it multiple different ways, but that'll be easy to do in a way that we can make a difference in that ministry. And then, I think there was something else? No. We have Pastor Mackey and his church, Greater Faith. A contingent of their members are going on a mission trip today, and Dr. Dennis said that we might take a few minutes and pray for their safety. So if you'll join me now. Father, we lift up our brothers and sisters who are one in faith in you. They call Jesus as Lord, and in that we are their brothers and sisters. We lift them up to you now, Father. We ask for protection as they travel. We ask for wisdom and discernment, Lord. And Father, we ask that they will be bold in their ability to share the gospel with all that they come in contact with on this mission trip. Father, in your name, may Jesus be lifted up so that all men come into him and many people come into your kingdom for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you will, I want to ask you to join me in the scripture for preparing our minds and hearts for worship. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. 1 Chronicles 16:31. And I want you to think about that, if you will. What did they rejoice over and why were they glad? The Lord reigns. If you want, I don't know what you may be going through today, but if you want to rejoice and be glad, every situation you look at, just remind yourself, the Lord reigns, and that will change your perspective. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for us being obedient to being here. And Father, I don't know what people have on their minds, on their hearts that may be weighing heavy. But Father, we just remember you reign, and in that we can rejoice and be glad. I pray that you would prepare us now. Let us be your servants. Let us be ears that hear, but also doers of your word. And may everything that we do honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.
And because he reigns, we can be assured that we can place him as our firm foundation. Stand with us and sing hymn 510, Firm Foundation.
Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word.
I have a living hope.
I have a living hope.
I have a future.
I have a future.
God has a plan for me.
God has a plan for me.
Of this I'm sure.
Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word.
Your word is faithful.
Your word is faithful.
Mighty in power.
Mighty.
Deliver me.
God has delivered me.
Of this I'm sure.
Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word.
Amen. And why can we put our hope in him? Because he is faithful all the time. Hymn 96, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have need in Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Sin and a peace that endureth, Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 besides. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have need in Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness,
At the end of this song, the children will go to children's church with Stephen over here. This is a new song probably for some of you. We will be coming back at the end of the service at the invitation and singing part of it again. So hopefully it will kind of stick with you. It's a great song. It has a great message.
Is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, when everything around me is shaken. Well, I've never
put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he never lets me down. He's faithful through generations, so why would he fail now?
He won't. He won't.
Well, I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. Though I won't be going under, I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I've built my life on Jesus, and he's never let me down. He's faithful in every season, so why would he fail now?
He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. He won't. He won't. He won't fail.
With you.
If I cannot preach after that, I can't preach. Praise the Lord. That was wonderful. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We give God all the glory. All the glory. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord. There's no better place to be than to praise Him who's alive. He's not dead. We don't serve a dead God. We serve a God who's alive. And because He's alive, we're alive. We're not dead. We're alive. Praise the Lord. And we're going to make it. We're going to make it. We give God all the glory. If you have your Bibles, if you turn to 2 Timothy, and we're going to be reading chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. 6 through 8. In the scripture there, it says 7, but we're going to read those first and second verses. So if you have it, in reverence to God's holy word, I'm going to ask you to stand. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Father, we thank you so much for your word. May you speak to us. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. When we look at this particular scripture here, it's very important. It's very great significance when we look at all of Paul's epistles that he wrote, because this is the last epistle that he wrote. So it is very, very, very significant. Some believe that it was written between the years 66 and 67, and it was written from Rome, and this was his execution was imminent. So this is his last letter that he wrote. And, you know, when somebody says the last words, it's very, very significant. So what he says is very significant. You know, Jesus' last words was about the Great Commission, to go and make disciples of all nations. That was very important. It's very important to us as well that we go and make disciples of all nations. So this second epistle here to Timothy, it was is based on the Isthmian Games. You know, we have the Olympic Games right now where we're going through, and we're winning a lot of medals, a lot of gold medals. And so, but these games were held every 2 years. Every 2 years they would have these games. And so there were athletes that would come from the whole region there, and they would participate in foot races, wrestling, boxing, throwing disc, and also long jump. But there was something that they had to do. They had to sign up. In order to participate, you have to sign up. If you're going to run this race, you have to sign up. If you're going to finish the race, you have to sign up. And so one of the things that you need to do today, if you have signed up, you can sign up today to run this race. If you are not part of the family of faith, you can put your trust in Jesus today, and you can start running today. You can start running through the streets of Fort Valley or Peach County. Maybe you can go run to Crawford County and come back and then go back to Houston County. And if you want to run the whole state, you can run the whole state, wherever the Lord may take you. Now, when you sign up, I was thinking about the Boston Marathon. You know, that's 26K. That's a lot of running right there, a lot of running. And in order for you to be part of the Boston Marathon, you have to sign up, and you have to qualify. And there is a specific time. There is 5 days, September 9th through the 13th of this year, so they can run next year. And there's this window right now as we're coming close, and these will be folks who are going to be running next year as well. There was a time to qualify. There was a specific time to qualify. It's based on gender, for instance. If you are aged between 18 through 34, you have to run those 26K in order to be able to be signed up in 3 hours. How many of you think you can do it in a car? We can do it in a car. Yes, maybe I can do it on a bike, maybe, with a motor in it. And if, of course, if you're a lady, it's 3 hours and 30 minutes, 3 hours and 30 minutes. That's just so you're able to qualify, so you can begin and sign up to be part of the Boston Marathon. Of course, there's also a fee. If you all, not only you have to make the time, but you also have to pay. If you are someone from the United States, you pay $230. If you are outside of the United States, I believe it was $235, $240. But when you're talking about running the race for Christ, the cost of the race is right there. What is the cost to follow the Lord? It says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus Christ, the cost of this race is free. He paid for you. He paid for me. He paid with his blood, so that we can run this race. So we're in this race. We're in this Christian race, but we're not here just to be in the race. We want to finish the race. Paul was finishing the race. He said, right there, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So in order for you to be part of this race, first of all, you got to sign up. And then you got to, once you sign up, then you start the race. You'll gather there with 20,000, 30,000 people. I don't know how many people will sign up. And that day, you can start this race. Our race is different. It's people from all over the world. There's people right now praising God in a different language, singing a different song. And there's all over the world, there are people in this race right now. And they're praising the Lord. It's interesting how other people praise the Lord. I was talking to somebody who went to an African village, and before they start, they go around, and all the dust begins to go up in heaven, and that's the beginning. I guess that would be our welcome over here. But they're praising the Lord. See, they're praising God. And so Paul's race started at the Damascus Road. That's where it all started. I don't know where your race started. Maybe you haven't started yet, and you want to trust Christ as your personal Savior today. Maybe you want to open your heart to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will come and dwell in you, and you will start this race. Perhaps your story and each story is different, but you know there's a common denominator. Jesus becomes Lord of our lives when we start, and he is the Lord of our lives. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That's who Jesus is. He's my King. He's my Lord. He calls the shots. You know, sometimes we get in trouble because we call the shots. We think we got it all under control. And listen, next thing you know, the Lord just turns the table a little bit on us, and we're going to realize that we're not in control anymore. But he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus is the Lord. So Paul's journey, he was just walking, and all of a sudden, you know, he was aiming to arrest Christians to come. He was a man of authority, and he thought he was the authority. And all of a sudden, you know, something happened on the way, and he understood what happened. Nobody else around it. And you know, when you come to know the Lord, nobody understands what's happening except you. That's what happened to Paul on the Damascus Road. And yet, here in 2 Timothy, he's saying, I have run the race, and he's finishing. And so, There's a sign up, there's a starting point, and of course there is the finish line. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. One day, it's going to be over. We won't be here anymore. You know, but this is just beginning. See, our God is eternal. And what he has given us and what he gives us is eternal. The Holy Spirit comes to live in us. And we will be in heaven forever. I don't know what we're going to speak up there. There was a fight between this Englishman and this Korean man. And they were arguing what they were going to speak in heaven. And then one said, I bet you we're going to speak British English. And the Korean said, no, we're going to speak Korean. And they got into heaven, they died and went to heaven, and God said, Buenos dias. Start learning Espanol. Get your Google translators out. You never know. You never know. But there is a finish line. And Paul was coming to the end. You know, that can happen in any minute, in any second. Just a few weeks ago, I had COVID. And there was one night that I had to talk to God, because I didn't think I was going to make it the next morning. It comes like this. You know, I think we need to learn to prioritize the spiritual. You know, Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. I believe that we need to put the Lord first, because things can turn in a jiffy. Things can turn, you know, all the arguments about property and who's going to keep what. I have a good friend of mine, he says, I've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. Amen. We're not taking anything, folks. Not the finest purse, the finest watch. We're not taking anything. We're not taking nothing. We were studying last Wednesday about sojourners. Peter talks about sojourners, and listen, we're just going through. One day it all come to an end. No more fights, no more arguing. You got to enjoy every day that the Lord gives you. Every day. Wake up in the morning. You know, sometimes people wake up in the morning and they're upset. You know some folks? Don't raise your hand, please. Some people say, I'm not a morning person. And you talk to them in the afternoon, and they're the same way. Maybe just at night while they sleep. With NyQuil. Listen, you got to enjoy the life that God's giving you. Love the people that are around you. Hug them. Tell them you love them. There are some folks who never tell their wives they love them, or vice versa. I talked to a man one time, he said, I told her, well, we got married 20 years ago. My word. If we could do it every day, that'd be great. Tell the people that are around you, I love you. Hug him. I used to hug my pastor all the time. He always running away from him because he ironed his clothes really good. I think he's probably spent the whole night ironing his shirts. And every time I saw him, I said, Pastor, I love you, and I will hug him. He was trying to run away from me. One thing he knows is that I love him. Love him. Love the people that are around you. Wake up in the morning and start praising the Lord. What would happen here? We just get up every morning and praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you for waking me up today. Thank you. I'm going to go to work today. Thank you for the job you're giving me. Thank you for the vehicle you give me. Thank you for the pet that I have that still barks at me and loves me. Thank you for the people that are around me, who surround me. You know, you need to, because the race, the finish line, is coming. And then it will be too late. We're not coming back here. We're not. So Paul understood that his time had come. We need to understand that our time is coming. And we need to live Christ-like. We need to love people. We need to tell them, express to them that they're careful, that you care for them, that you love them. Not because you give them an iPhone 15 or 16, I don't know where we are now. Not based on the material things, but on the heart things, that you love them. So there's Paul's departures. He says, I have finished the race. It's come to an end. And so how can you and I stay in this race? How can you and I stay in this race? The first of all, we got to have a winning attitude. We got to have a winning attitude. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Do you hear how excited he is about it? Listen, I'm excited that I belong to Jesus. Are you excited you belong to Jesus? Are you excited your name is written in the book of life? We have to change our attitude. We got to believe that God has the best for us, that he has the best days for us. We have to believe we can now be doubtful that he loves us and he cares for us and he has the best for us. We cannot doubt. We have to reduce the doubtfulness, the thoughts. This week we read from Evans Roberts, and I'll read it to you. He said there was a religious and church life had reached a low point in Wales, 1904. Anybody here from 1904? 1904, all right. You had good surgery. All right. Amen. My grandmother was born in 1904, but she's going to be with the Lord. Church attendance was low, and apathy and sinful behavior were high. Many were praying for revival, like we're praying for revival. And a young man named Evan Roberts had been praying for 13 years. My, we must not quit praying. Sensing God's call to vocational ministry, he felt working on the coal mines to go to school. He says God gave him a message to share with his home church on a Monday night. He shared a four-point message with 17 young men, and they all responded and obeyed. They met the next night with more in attendance. And it says, as Christians got right with God and others, God began to convict unbelievers of sin, and many turned to faith in Christ. In 6 months, 100,000 people had come to know Christ. Can it happen here? Has God changed? The conditions look the same, don't they? And I love this little next paragraph. He said, because so many people's lives were being changed, the society changed as well. Crime decreased so much that judges and policemen had little to do. Taverns went out of business because of the decline in drinking alcohol. That affected family life for good. And I love this part right here. Even the animals in the coal mines had to be retrained because of the clean language of the converted miners. Evan Roberts' point was, and that was number two, the first one he said, we must put away any unconfessed sin. And the second one, he said, you must put away any doubtful habits. Are you doubting today? Are you doubting what God can do in this place? Are you doubting that God can bring revival in this place? We must not doubt. We must never forget who you are in Christ. You must never forget who promised to be with us. God promised to be with us. He said, I'll be with you every day, every day, every week, every month, every year, every moment. I'll be with you. God is with us. When you're going through troubles and tribulations, when you're going through sickness, you're going through disease, you must never forget that God is with you. He is with you. When nobody cares about you, God cares for you. When nobody loves you, God loves you. He loves you, and he accepts you just the way you are. You may be, you know, a little like you're missing the screw sometimes, but God loves you. We all have those kind of moments. He loves you. He loves you. Our young people need to know that God loves them and that God accepts them just the way they are. Our grandchildren need to know that. We need to know that. Everyone needs to know that. That there is a promise from God that I will never leave you or forsake you. That he hasn't changed. He loves you. He loves me. Just the way we are. But if you're going to finish this race, you also must stay focused. You got to stay focused. You got to keep your eyes on your race. Even though we're here in the local body of the church right here, but everyone is running a race here. And where you are in the race, maybe you're way ahead of the race. Maybe there's more spirituality in you. Maybe you're just starting. Maybe you know more. Maybe I know less. But listen, this is a personal race. Even though you love the people around you, it's the race between you and the Lord. We're all going to the finish line. And we must stay focused on the Lord. We must stay focused. We must keep our eyes on the race. Right now, the Olympics are going by, and on the men's team, the Nigerian 400 relay was disqualified after posting a best 2.59.81. I don't know what that means, but I found it. And they were disqualified for violating the rule that each athlete has to stay inside their lane. You know, we're running this race, and sometimes we're so focused on what my brother and sister are doing than what we are doing. We got to stay focused on Christ. Because when you and I cross that line, it's just you and the Lord on the other side. So you need to focus on Christ. Sometimes we have the tendency to look to see what the other one is doing. There was a preacher that came to speak to our seminary class when I was in New Orleans. I don't remember his name, but I remember what he said. He was part of a large family. There were about 15 kids. And mom would come with a pot, and she would just put that pot in the middle of the table right there. And he was the first one. They would say grace, and he was the first one to be served. And but yet, he said, I always, always ate my food cold. I wanted to see how much Mom gave to each of my brothers. Are you focused on Christ? Or are you focused on what your sister is doing or not doing? Are you being distracted by what others are doing? Let me remind you that you're going to cross that finish line by yourself. And I'm going to cross it by myself. My sweet wife is not going to be there. It's just me and Jesus. When you cross that line, it's about you and your walk and your race to the finish line. Stay focused. Ask yourself, am I growing, Lord? Do I need to pray more? Do I need to be more in your word? Lord, do I need to be more faithful to come to the house of God? Do I need to be involved with the gifts and talents that you have given me? Because the line is coming. And we're all going to have to give an account once we cross the line. Let's pray more. Let's seek the Lord more. Let's get in the Word a little more. Let's be more faithful to the Lord. Let's be more faithful with our tithe and offerings to the Lord. And Malachi said, you have robbed me. And God said, but people say, well, how can we rob you, God? Well, he said, you robbed me in the tithe and offerings. You've been unfaithful to me. God has blessed us, and we need to be faithful to him of how he blessed us. How many of you have been blessed by God? You've been blessed by God. We all have been blessed by God. We need to be faithful. So we need to stay on our lane, focus on you, be an encouraging to others. Let's not judge other people with the struggles and the things that they're having. You know, it's not easy. You know, I'm coming from the world. What I mean by the world, I was close to becoming an alcoholic. You know, and I had people, the reason I'm here, it's because people were running the race and they were faithful to the Lord. And instead of them judging me with my struggles, as I begin to get up, I had people who encouraged me, who said, look, you failed today, but you're going to get up again. And you're going to stand on your feet again. And I believe God is going to use you one day. When I got kicked out of the University of New Orleans, people came around me and encouraged me. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here today. Let's be an encouraging. We must not judge what other people's struggles are. We need to pray for them and encourage them. And tell them, God will, you will get through this. You'll see, you're going to get through this. And you're going to stand on your feet and you're going to be a faithful witness for Jesus. That's what we need to inject. That's the kind of shot I believe that people need. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things on earth. John 21:22 says, Jesus answered, if I want him to stay until I come, what is it to you? You follow me. It's easy to look at other people's wrongs and not see our own. But we must look in the mirror and say, Lord, I got my own struggles too. I need help. I need your help. Can you help me to overcome this? So stay in your race. Be constant in constant motion. Be persistent in tough times. Neither good times nor bad times last forever. You know that. Sometimes we wonder how we're going to pay Flynn. And here we are again with the next bill. It was paid. God always provides. He always provides. God is faithful. That's who He is. Sometimes we need to talk to ourselves. You need to say, I'm going to make it. Just like the song said, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. I know it's tough, Lord, but I'm going to make it because you're with me. I'm going to make it. Our family's going to make it. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. But we have to be in constant motion. We need to continue moving. Even Paul, in his last words, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. The faith was there. He still had the faith that God was going to do something. But he also knew that the time had come. The finish line was in front. Be consistent. You must make a commitment to follow. You have to make a commitment. It's all about commitment. When you get married, it's about commitment. You're committed. You committed to God. When we were here, we said, I'll be with you in sickness, in poverty, in wealth. I'm going to be here. You make a commitment to the person, and you make a commitment to God that you're going to finish the race. You have to make a commitment. It is not an emotional decision. It's not emotional. It cannot be yes and then no and yes, yes, and we get excited and all of that. It's got to be a commitment. You know, marriage is a commitment. It's 24/7. It's every day of your life, and it's good days and bad days, but you made a commitment. You make a commitment to the Lord and say, Lord, I know it's tough. I know my leg hurts today, but I'm coming, Lord, because I made a commitment to you. I made a commitment to you because the finish line is not here yet. We have to make a commitment. We cannot go through the emotions. This is one of my favorite places in the world. New Orleans, Louisiana, home of the Cajuns. This is Audubon Park. If you've been in New Orleans, this is between Magazine Street and St. Charles. On the other side, there's University of Tulane and Loyola. And this is a two-mile run right here. You can walk, you can skateboard, you can take your wheelchair. I mean, you have all kind of folks doing that. I remember the first time that I went. Never forget. Of course, I was so prideful, you know. I said, I'm just going to run today. I didn't stretch or anything, you know. And I said, I'm just going to start running. And I just started going as fast as I could, you know. I started passing people in rollerblades and roller skates. I was going fast. Of course, that was a long time ago. I passed people in wheelchairs. I even passed people in bikes who were going slow, people who were running, other joggers. And when I was about midpoint around that track, I realized that every person that I had passed me. Even a lady in a wheelchair passed me. In the rollerblades, the bicycles, everybody. But you see, I was going. You know what happened? I ran out of gas. All my energy had dwindled. But I was still moving my arms. In my mind, I was going fast. But reality said something else. You know, sometimes reality says something else. We think we're going fast. We think we're good. We think we're great. But the reality of it is that we're just going through the motions. We need to get back to finish this race. We need to make a commitment to God and say, Lord, you understand my limitations. See, I had surgery. I had knee surgery. And I can't run like I used to run. But you know what? God has had something for me to do. He said, I know you can't run, but I don't need a runner, Dennis. I need your heart. And I want you to preach my word. So I don't need my physical activities like I used to. You have to finish the race. As we come to an invitation time, can you think for a minute? Evaluate? Can you meditate? Let's finish the race well. May our hearts be in the right place. Focus on Jesus. May we be ready to cross the finish line. Maybe you need to come into the altar and pray. Maybe you want to come here and pray with me. We'll pray with you. I don't know what decision God is putting in your heart to make. Will you make it today so we can finish the race?
If you would stand, we're going to sing a reprise of the song we sang a few minutes ago, because God won't fail us. He won't. And I hope that you sing that and know that God will not fail us. Everything around me is shaking.
you so much for allowing us to be in your house. Is there anybody here today who would like to start the race? Hey, it's never too late. God loves you. He cares for you. He's taking care of you. He wants you to start this race, this Christian race. You open your heart to him today, he will come and live and reside in you. And you can start running today. Father, we are so thankful to be in your house. There's no greater place to be than to be in the house of the Lord. Father, be with us, Father, as we go, Father, throughout this city. Father, we pray, Father, you'll give us opportunities, that you'll give us divine appointments, Father. Father, you will open the doors to conversations so that we can share the gospel, the good news, with those who do not know you. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us first. In Christ's name, amen.